But I would anticipate, you know, just based on the need they're trying to address, they're going to be pretty generous about that. So that's really the beauty of this program. If you need money right away, they'll be able to get it into your hands within 3 business days. You know, once you take a look, once everything settles down a little bit and you take a look at your EIDL loan and kind of your business needs, these can be refinanced into typical 7A SBA loans or PPP loans, just depending on what's going to work best for your business. There is that possibility, with the caveat that to the extent, you know, advance was taken under a disaster loan, it is going to be deducted for your loan forgiveness. Again, so you can take advantage of both, refinance, kind of move these loans around, but you know, just designed to not do that here. So again, the application is at covid19relief.sba.gov. So if you want to take a look through there, it's very streamlined, it's very fast. So we would, you know, again, much like the PPP program, make sure you at least look into it to see if it might be something that's going to be helpful for the business. So I'm going to, there are some other resources that have been developed under the CARES Act as it relates to small businesses and nonprofits. I'm going to go through them relatively quickly because a number of them either, you know, are not available to nonprofits, or it's still kind of unclear whether nonprofits can take advantage of it, but I do want to touch on them quickly just so everyone knows what's out there. So one thing that CARES created as well is additional funding for small business development centers, which includes women business centers and minority business centers. Typically, you know, prior to this, those were not available to nonprofits for resources, but it's, you know, given the intent of the legislation, it's possible that those would be opened up to nonprofits as well. And what that funding is designed to do is really, you know, allow those development centers to provide guidance as businesses are trying to figure out how to respond to COVID-19. You know, they understand that small businesses, you wear a lot of hats, and with what's going on now, you have even more. So they are there for, you know, support in figuring out how you're going to, you know, adapt your business to these times. Unclear if nonprofits are going to be able to take advantage of that, but it is a possibility, so I wanted to let you know about that. The other major resource I wanted to talk about as it relates to existing loans, you know, to the extent your business has a loan, whether it's a typical SBA loan or otherwise with a financial institution currently, the CARES Act created a $17 billion kind of incentive fund for lenders to defer certain existing loans, you know, either do you know, deferring existing loans, otherwise modifying that, things like that. So they are saying to banks, hey, you know, work with borrowers, you know, make this as painless for everybody. So they are heavily incentivized to work with their borrowers to figure out, you know, what's going to work for each individual business. The other key part of that is that to the extent that lenders make any accommodations during this time, payment deferrals, things like that, in their reporting to credit agencies, they're required to do so in a way that doesn't impact the borrower's credit. So to the extent, you know, that people are worried about that, banks are directed, you know, to do this in a manner that's not going to hurt that. So, you know, for a lot of people, that's probably not your immediate concern, but it is good to know that that program is out there. So, you know, that being said, if you do have any existing loans, whether they're SBA or otherwise, I would highly, highly recommend speaking with your lenders. A lot of the banks, you know, small and large, are doing what they can to help people out now with borrower assistance program, temporary assistance loans, et cetera. So, you know, the topic of this discussion is the CARES Act, but there are a lot of other programs there at kind of the local, at the bank level that you can potentially take advantage of. So, you know, work with your bankers, whether new or existing, see what their programs are, take a look at, you know, the PPP program and the disaster loans, and, you know, there's a lot of help out there to get you through these times. So, Torben, I think that covers it, and we can probably open it up to questions unless
you're unmuted.
I just wanted to hit a couple things before we get into a couple questions. I know there's a couple here that I'll try and address. You know, for either one of these loans, at least the disaster loan that Rachel talked about.
Unmuted.
Open and available now to apply for. And so feel free to do that and go on there. For the PPP applications, we have a form. It's not being taken yet. But to the extent that you can prepare for it, get your documentation in line. That's the most important thing you can do in the next couple of days. Calculate all of your payroll costs. Get those documents together so you can easily take that documentation to a lender and they can get you taken back really, really quickly and easily. I just want to saw a couple of questions here. I'll just cover some of those. One question came through on the 8 weeks of payroll. That's what this is for. So you have 8 weeks from the date you receive your loan. I'm sorry about that. I think I'm back here. I was muted for a minute. So you have 8 weeks of payroll covered under this. The question was, well, what happens after that 8 weeks and you have to lay somebody off? We don't know what the future is going to hold. Hopefully this is in place. It may be extended. But if after 8 weeks and that employee is laid off, well, then the standard unemployment is going to kick in at that point. And the CARES Act does include a $600 extra benefit to that employee. That expires July 31st, 2020. The hope is that once this gets out, we have April and May, a small part of June, there's not going to be a lot of money left to pay on that on July 31st. But from your perspective, if you take advantage of the PPP and when that expires, you need to lay off employees or you need to furlough people, just do what you need to do, let it happen. There is going to be an additional benefit that they get, but they will get that directly. And then one of the other questions that comes up, and it's not unique to you guys, it's unique to everybody, the 1099 employees. So 1099 and payments to 1099 employees are included as payroll costs. Now, it's true that those independent contractors and those 1099 employees and sole proprietors can apply for their own benefit. They absolutely can. That starts April 10th. But the way that payroll costs are calculated includes all of those expenses, your payroll expenses to employees, your group health benefit premiums will also be included in that. Any relative other small, minor, state and local taxes that are assessed on employment, not FICA tax, but then it also includes payments to some other sole proprietor or an independent contractor. So you can include all of that in your payroll costs to calculate that. And remember, let me just go through really quickly what those payroll costs are, so you know what they are, so there won't be any confusion whatsoever what is included in payroll costs that you're calculating. It includes salary, wages, commissions, or similar compensation. It includes 1099 payments to 1099 employees, payments of cash tip or equivalent. If you are tipping referees, if you are tipping other people to do something, you can include that. Any payments that you have made for vacation, parental, family, medical, or sick leave are also included. Any severance pay or separation payments that you made, that would also be included. Payments for group health care benefits, so that's going to be your insurance premiums that you pay, that's going to be also included as well. Any retirement benefits that you are paying out, and then also, again, state or local taxes. So those are the categories of numbers that you're going to compile to get a payroll cost for 2019. Find your average monthly amount, and that is going to be the base period that they're talking about. So with that, we'll take any other questions that you have and happy to address them as we can.
Unmuted.
Yeah, Torben, we have a couple ones. One of them says, when you say payroll costs, well, I think you just answered that, but does it include health insurance? Or just strictly payroll?
It does include health insurance. Your group health insurance premiums that you pay on a monthly basis will be included as payroll costs.
We have another question. Can you readdress the benefits or the pitfalls for applying for both the PPP and the EIDL?
Yeah, so primarily, and I'll let Rachel jump in after this first part. She talks a little bit about the EIDL, but basically the only downside is you cannot use the funds for both. So if you are using your PPP funds for payroll costs, you cannot use IDL funds for those same payroll costs. You shouldn't have to. I mean, it makes sense. You've already taken advantage of that, but that is the one prime thing that is the downside with both of those is you need to only use the one for what it's for. In most instances, I would tell people at this point, if you do apply and receive both, use the PPP for those those express limitations that you're required to use: payroll, rent, utilities, and mortgage interest. Use that for those funds for that, because those are the aspects that will be forgiven and you don't have a debt to carry. Rachel, do you want to jump in on anything else on what you see as a potential pitfall for applying with both? That's the main one. I'll just take that. That is the main one. There is an ability, if you already have a pending application for an EDIL, or you have one that needs to, you have that coming, there is an opportunity to roll that into a PPP if your payroll costs are large enough to accomplish that. So you can do that as well. But if you don't roll it in, just remember, keep those separate.
Yeah, Torben, one more. What about disability insurance or life insurance policies? Are those, can they be included in there as well?
Yeah, no, they cannot. So it's limited purely to group health insurance premiums. So that is the amount that is going to be included.
We have another question that came in. Is there a catch to the funds being forgiven? Will it affect your credit at all?
Yeah, so it will not affect your credit if the funds are forgiven. That will not be treated as income. Usually if you get debt forgiveness, you're going to get that amount attributable to your income and you're going to pay whatever your tax rate is on it, usually 30% on that amount. That is not the case here. It will not affect you at all if those amounts are forgiven. It is not treated as income in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, we have a couple more questions that came in. If 1099 employees can be included in the PPP, do we include them in the employee count on the application and add their pay?
Yes. And so that's, they're, look at it as two line items. So if you have the number of employees that you're going to claim, you need to include all the wages that you were paid for that those employees, and the vice versa goes true. If you're going to include payroll, you need to include whoever received that amount as one of your employees. Now that those employees, the numbers can be for the maximum amount of the loan calculation, those can be part-time, simple-time, full-time, it doesn't matter. They're counted as one employee. For calculating loan forgiveness, they're going on the full-time equivalent status. So if you end up with 22 employees and you only have 30 part-time employees, well, that's equivalent to 15 full-time equivalent employees. So you just have to make up that delta. So don't get, it's weird how they did it, but it's going to be number to get the money, but to repay it, full-time equivalent is what we're going to look at.